Sanusha Naidu needs no introduction at all. She's a political analyst based at the Institute of Global Dialogue. If you've been following the politics of South Africa, you'd know that her voice is very vocal and sharp on various issues. We've invited her to come and speak to us about the matter of independent candidates that will be appearing on our ballot. As far as I understand, and I could be wrong, Sanusha will put me right on this one, they were supposed, they allocated numbers or seats in parliament for independents were supposed to be 100, and it looks like we are going to have far lesser than that. But she'll explain all that for us and the implications of having independent candidates on our ballot right now. Sanusha, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to 702. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Thabo, and thanks for the intro. I couldn't help agreeing with your callers and yourself and your and your colleague about the weight of goods and bread. And you're right, because half of it is air.
Yeah.
You're paying for air. It's supposed to be a free, a public commodity, a global good.
Yeah, and Sanush, I mean, the price is still the same, but, I mean, there's a bit of vacuum there.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, I agree with your callers. I go and buy crisps, and I'm like shocked, because it's like finished, and then I'm like, but half of it was air.
Yeah. Are we getting the same, you think, for political parties?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much of hot air in political parties at the moment. It's very confusing, and to discuss the issue of independent candidates,
yeah,
becomes even more complex.
Yeah, and in this instance, the Constitutional Court had ruled that individuals not belonging to parties can also stand for elections, as it's their constitutional right to contest elections. The process leading thereto, it also seemed as though Parliament had some sort of malicious, they had to comply maliciously, and they went around postponing, but more importantly, making it very difficult for independents to stand, Sanusha. Say a little bit about the process leading here to.
Okay, so this process that you mentioned comes from a constitutional court ruling 2 years ago, or just more than 2 years ago, where the constitutional court heard an application by a movement called First Nation application. And
yes,
the application was on the basis that why can't independents stand in a national election to contest? Mm. And the Constitutional Court had to make that ruling based on the application put forward. So what they ruled was that the Electoral Act needs to be amended, because constitutionally it doesn't deprive or doesn't preclude independent candidates from standing in the context of the fact that we have a proportional representation system. Now, what a PR system is that when you go to vote, you're not voting for a candidate, you're not voting for a person, you're voting for a political party who gets a proportion of the vote, and that proportion of the vote that they get based on whatever the election results look like, is then allocated number of seats in parliament, and thereafter, it's that political party that essentially nominates a candidate to be president, for president of the republic, and therefore you then have parliament and the MPs that are sworn in to, as members of the part of the 400 members of the National Assembly and the joint sitting of the both houses, that's the NCOP and the NA, will then elect the president. So in effect, this idea that we are electing, I don't know, President Ramaphosa to be president of the country, or we're electing John Steenhuisen or whoever else, is actually not direct participation.
Certainly, because you and I didn't necessarily pick them out as potential leaders. We picked the parties, and the parties picked them, and the parliament then decides who becomes president.
And it doesn't have to be the same person whose face appears on the ballot paper and next to that political party. They can actually choose someone completely different, right?
And one day we'll be in for a big shock.
Yeah, and this is one of the issues that over the weekend was a commentary in the, I think it was the Sunday Times, by Sam Mkolele, making that point. Like, you know what? What happens if the ANC gets, or they decide they don't want Cyril Ramaphosa as the president?
But, I mean, this would be the very first time in South Africa that we get to choose individuals to stand as candidates for parliament and to be chosen. And how complicated will this process be for an ordinary voter who may be conflicted between an individual and a party?
Okay, so just to go back to your point about the process, then of course you had the process that was put together to an electoral committee to do this reform, and it was headed by the current Home Affairs Minister, Aaron Motsoaledi. And as you rightly put out, I don't think, I think the word you were looking for is grudgingly decided that they had to do this, because it was something that they didn't really, you know, there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and the timelines were so tight that they actually exceeded where they needed to be. And there was a lot of gripe as well, because on the point of nobody could actually, and nobody can, I think, at this point, can actually sit down and give you a number of what, how many thousand votes a political party or an independent candidate need to get in order to make a seat in parliament. So that has been a bit of a contentious issue as well. The second point is that, yes, we will be voting for independent candidates, but independent candidates not necessarily appearing on the national list. And that's very interesting for us to bear in mind, because we are in a very pivotal moment in this democracy and in the body politic of the state. Now we have three ballot papers. We have a national ballot paper, which is essentially for 200 candidates that are put up by only political parties. There's no independent candidates on the national ballot candidate list. Then there's the regional ballot paper, where you have both independent candidates and political parties. Mm. And that is only for the second 200 candidates that go from the region to the National Assembly. Before, it was two ballot papers.
Yes.
The first one was national. Straightforward, you're voting for a political party, the PRC
nationally
gives them 200 seats, and they will then put those candidates in on the basis of their first 200 candidates, depending if people drop off or whatever happens. Now, and then, of course, the second ballot paper we had was provincial, as well as voting. I mean, you were voting also for what we call provincial to national, the second 200 votes, which is basically each province has an allocation of seats in the National Assembly based on their demographic size. So now what they've done, because you have to accommodate independent candidates, and independent candidates can't actually contest at the national level, it's only for political parties. So what they've done is they've separated the ballot. You've got a national ballot, you've got the regional one, which is independent candidates, and voting for political parties. Now, each province will be different depending on which independent candidate is voting, is contesting, say, for the Western Cape or Gauteng, or can they contest more than one province if they can afford it? And secondly, you're voting for those political parties that are specific to those provinces.
That
makes up the second 200.
Yeah. Before you get to the next one, I truly have to take quick traffic. Then I'm going to come back to you. I need you to explain that process for us. It's extremely important, Sanusha. Please hold that thought for me. 20 minutes after 5. 011-883-0702 as we wrap up our discussion with political analyst Sanusha Naidu on the issues of independence. Sanusha, I had interrupted you horribly there on the last ballot that you were trying to explain, that there would be national and there would be regional, and you're about to touch on the independence. Please continue.
Okay, so the last ballot is your provincial ballot. That's very simple. You're voting for your provincial legislature, proportional representation, political parties, independent candidates. It's just very much the same as you did in previous elections.
Sure.
Independent candidates now can contest a seat in the National Assembly based on the regional ballot, and they can contest a seat on the provincial ballot for the provincial legislature. So that's very what it is. It's simple. It's straightforward. But when it comes to the actual regional ballot on the regional ballot, if a candidate, an independent candidate, wins more than two regions, so two seats, technically speaking, and you know, it's impossible to occupy two seats at the same time.
Yeah.
So you have to forfeit one. And when you have to forfeit one, the question is, what happens to those votes that you get to get that second seat or to get a seat. So where I understand it, and this is where it becomes complex, because you have to have much more voter education, much more breaking down of the information. I think that then that those votes are then distributed across the political party, which then kind of argues the point, is it not then favoring political parties more than the actual ruling of what the Constitutional Court said, and that is independence can actually be in parliament.
And also, I mean, if despite the fact that you may have two seats in two different regions, assuming you're contesting in a constituency and they've divided them into provinces in Mpumalanga for one, and the requirement at that particular point, the ratio of 25,000 would then afford you a seat. And for whatever reason, you get 37,000 seats. The difference there too just goes to waste.
It goes to waste, but it also means that, you know, you don't have any say as an independent candidate.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the contentious issues. If I'm not mistaken, I think Build One South Africa with Musi Meyamani, and that's how it is, appears on the candidate list, right? Build One South Africa with Musi Meyamani.
And it's a topic for another day.
Another fascinating debate.
Yes.
But, that actually was part of the contention of understanding what will happen to these votes that are now left in kind of common pool.
Certainly.
And then it tends to give perhaps political parties a higher advantage. So again, I think, you know, one of the challenges we have, and this election is going to be a litmus test to this question of our PR system, is whether or not we need serious electoral reform and not this kind of cosmetic tinkering of the electoral app.
Which political parties are wanting to keep for their own preservation and making sure that they hold on to power? Before I say goodbye to you, just to introduce another spanner in the works and to say that independents have got huge constituencies to contest in. A province is quite big. I mean, if you're known somewhere like myself in a small township in Soweto called Dobsonville, even that, a very small area, for me then to contest as an independent in Gauteng, to go all the way, people in the far east of Pretoria, they wouldn't have heard of me at all. And that brings perhaps, and this is where I need your input, Sanusha, do we need a redemarcation of these constituencies in order to make it fair for independent candidates?
You know, Thabo, now you're venturing into that very black box of demarcation issues, and it's very politicized. And I think the demarcation board has just issued their new set of members, of board members. And that is the reason why you have to ask the question of the feasibility, the viability of having a reform of the Electoral Act. Because one of the other things is that, as you rightly point out, you gave the example of Dobsonville. I can give you the example of a Cape Metro, which has so many million people, or give you an example of what you call this, the two metros in Gauteng.
Yes.
And it tends to also complicate it, because one of the challenges is, what if you don't make the cut?
Exactly.
What happens to those votes as well? Do they go back into a common pool? I need to go back and read the legislation.
So
what the commission had done in terms of, they made it very complicated.
Sanusha, I truly have to go. Please, let's have this conversation again. I can speak to you for 2 hours. Sadly, I have to go. Sanusha Naidu, political analyst based with the Institute for Global Dialogue, 28 after 5.